So you know when we have new believers a part of the church and all of that, that we are to pray for them. Amen? We're to pray for them in our walk with the Lord. We are to pray for one another as a family of God. And so new brothers and sisters becoming part of the church, we always want to pray for them. But our series is called Drawing Near to God. That's what we're in. We're drawing near to God. That's what we want to do. That's what we should want to do, but we don't always want to go there because drawing near to God will sometimes cause us maybe some internal pain and cause us to have to deal with some things that we don't want to deal with. But tonight I want to share a couple of stories with you in God's Word, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Samuel tonight. We're going to begin there. And we're going to be in chapter 1. And I'm not going to read all these scriptures because there's a lot tonight. So I'm just going to read some key ones, but I'll put you up on how the story goes. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel, right? 1 Samuel, chapter 1. Sometimes when we have something up on our hearts, we have a tendency to want to pray harder. Sometimes when something's going on in our life, we have a tendency, when things are going well, we have a tendency just kind of put our life on cruise control, and our prayer life becomes on cruise control, and our worship becomes cruise control, and everything we do just kind of seems to be almost robotic with it, and we just kind of float. Until something happens in our life, and then that situation or whatever it may be, all of a sudden, now we find out as because we are a believer, we find ourselves wanting God to be a part of it. And when we do that, it causes us to draw near to God. Okay? So Hannah is a woman who is barren, wasn't able to have children at this time. And she wanted to have a child because back then those were bragging rights. That was the pride of a woman. And she was not able to. And there were certain people in her family that kept ridiculing her because she had no children. And so she continues to go to the temple when they went up there yearly to do their sacrifices, her husband and them, to do all those things. When there was something that Hannah did that was different than others, and she would find herself in a place where many other people would not be. And that is on her knees. Because she had something in her life that she could not fix. There was a prayer in her life. There was something going on. Let's look in verse 10. And so this was Hannah, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. So she found herself kneeling and she's praying and her heart's broken. She's in bitterness, her heart's in anguish. She's got all this weight. She can't have a child, but she wants a child. And she goes to the Lord and begins to petition our Lord. You want to know what? She did the very best thing a person could do. She brought her need to the Lord. The first one I want to share with you tonight is when you are in need and you want a prayer answered, it will cause you to draw to God if it's important. If it's important to you, you can't fix it. You can't do it on your own. Nobody else can do it. You will find yourself drawing to the Lord in prayer. How many of you been in a place like Hannah where you could do nothing to fix it, no one else could do anything to fix it, and you found yourself on your knees with the Lord? Anybody can verify that in your own life, testify to that in your own life. When you did that, you continued to draw to the Lord. You know, you can draw to the Lord in tears. You can. You can draw to the Lord in sadness. Even when your heart is broken. But verse 11 says, then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And then it happened that as she continued to pray before the Lord, and so she continued to pray this prayer, but she threw something out. She was so desperate. She said, Lord, give me a child. Give me a male child, and if you give that to me, I will raise it up to a certain age, and then he's all yours. Most moms wouldn't do that. Most fathers wouldn't do that. Do you know sometimes God doesn't give us what we want in the time when we're praying for it at that time? He wants us to continue to wrestle through it. Sometimes God wants us to keep praying about that situation for a while, and He'll watch us and He'll listen to us, but we keep praying about it. And you know why sometimes I think that God doesn't answer immediately? Because we're not as serious in our prayer until we pray about 10, 20 times, maybe 10 or 20 days in a row, maybe for 12 months in a row. And our heart begins there, and we begin to draw near to God even closer and closer and closer. This is one of the things I really liked about reading this. In verse 19, it says this, Then they rose early, and her husband rose early in the morning, and they worshiped before the Lord. She didn't stop worshiping because God didn't answer it that day, because she wasn't with the baby that day. She didn't stop worshiping. She didn't stop doing the right things. She continued with those. But God heard that prayer. God heard it. Continues to go on in verse 20. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked for him from the Lord. And God answered her prayer. She drew near to God with a need. She drew near to God with a heart that was broken because she wanted a child. She drew near to God in this time of need. So I believe that we can draw near to God through prayer in our times of need. Amen? Amen? I'm telling you, because when you're walking as a Christian, you're going to find times when you need to draw to the Lord. Some of those are going to be like we talked about this morning. As a people, as a group, we're going to serve Him. We're going to serve Him together. And when we do that, we are drawing in a community. We are all drawing closer to God when you do His work. But there are times when you're by yourself and there's something that's going on only in your life that you can't fix, that you can't do. You can't answer it. And you find yourself before the Lord. I believe she got her prayer answered because she knew who could be the only one, to answer the prayer. So I believe sometimes we draw near to God when we have a need, and we begin to pray about it with our whole being, not just with our lips, but with our whole being. Now I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 15. I want to get into a little bit more of what I want to talk about tonight, but I wanted to throw that out because I've been trying to get that 1 Samuel off my back all week long. But I think the Lord just said, speak it anyway. So somebody here maybe needed that tonight. But here's where I want to be tonight for the rest of the time I have. It is the parable of the lost son. I want to look at it in a way that we all could probably relate to at some time in our life. Can I ask y'all, any of you that are Christians, have you ever kind of strolled and kind of wandered away from the Lord any time in your walk with Jesus? Just be honest, okay? Good, because I'm not the only one tonight talking to myself, all right? Okay? Verse 13, we're going to pick it up here. Not many days after the younger brother had got all together and journeyed to a far country, and there he wastes his possessions with prodigal living. Basically, there were two sons, and the younger son says, Hey, I want my fortune. Now, Dad, let me have it. Dad gave it to him. He went out, and he lived a sinful lifestyle. Do you know that as a parent, that if your child decides to go at 18 years old and leave the house, if they want to go live a sinful lifestyle, you can't go get them out of that all the time? They are so-called adults now, right? So they have to make some decisions on their own. And his decision was, I'm ready to go have a good time. So it's sinful living. So he went out and he spent all that he had on sinful living. You know, sinful living is very expensive. You can't afford to live a sinful life. It will break you. It will break you. A sinful life will financially break you because you never have enough of it. It never gives you an ease. You always need more and more and more. Can anybody testify? All right. Thank you. So he went out and he did sinful living and he spent it all. He spent it all. Finds himself in a mess and he finds himself in the pig pen. You know, back in these days, if you were around swine, pigs, hogs, all that kind of, all those animals, those were unclean animals. And this person who is supposed to be one of the godly people finds themselves in the pig pen. If you are not stronger than your environment will swallow you up. If you cannot be, if your environment around you takes over, it better be a positive environment because there's more followers than there are leaders. Right? Right? Right. Okay. So here he goes. He goes and he parties it all out and he's broke, he's done. Guess what? When you're living a sinful life, nobody's going to give you the money unless you con them out of it because they're living a sinful life too. They're trying to keep up with their own needs. So now he has nobody to take care of him. All the women are gone. All the drinking's gone. He don't know what to do. But he knows he has to eat. And he's sitting and laying in the pig pen. Nobody ever expects to go to that place. Because they're always thinking about the good time. And he finds himself in this area. And all of a sudden, in his mind, he begins to think about something. Let me tell you, sinful living will humble you real quick. You cannot conquer sinful living. Can I just get that out? You cannot conquer sinful living. Sinful living will conquer you. It will take you, let you have a good time for a season to where you like it a lot, and then it will turn around and it will eat you up. And it will spit you out. Okay? Sinful living you cannot conquer. It will conquer you. So he has this thing in his mind. He begins to. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. He says, I think I'm going to rise. He's thinking here. He says, I will rise and go to my father's and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. His mind is beginning to turn now. There's a lot of people who will say this kind of conversation. I think I need to go home. I think I need to stop. I think I need to stop using. I think I need to stop drinking. I think I need to stop doing this. I think I need to stop this sinful living. There's a lot of people that get up in the morning and say, I'm done. But in that evening, they find themselves in the same exact place. And it's a vicious cycle. It is a vicious, vicious cycle. I've shared this story before, and I'm going to share it again because I think it relates with this. My father-in-law had a friend, and she was a female, and she was drinking. She was an alcoholic, and she drank all the time. It was always known for her to fall off the stool of the bar and lay there for a while. But there was a time when she didn't get up. And they let her stay there because somebody said, she's drunk, but here's what happens. She wasn't drunk, she died. She died. And when they had the funeral, what I heard was, at the bar, everybody liked her. She was fun, she was a gullible, she was all that stuff. But I heard at the funeral, three people showed up. Sin doesn't like you. The world doesn't care about you. You can't conquer sin. Sin will conquer you if you let it. But this young man decided to do something. Not just talk about it, but to put one foot in front of the other. But he knew what was going to happen. At least he thought what was going to happen. He said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to talk to my father. Maybe I can be one of the hired hands because I've already blew it as a son. And I'm going to go back and maybe I'll just eat with those guys and at least I'll live and I'll have something to eat and I can get out of this pig pen. So he has that conversation with himself. This is a man who walked away from what he was brought up to. This young man was brought up to believe in God, to follow the ways of God. But he chose in a moment in his life to walk away. Some of you may have had children who have done those things. You notice the father didn't run after him. Every day he would step up and see if he was going to come home. And day after day he did not come home. But I want to tell you something. God is working with people today, young men and young women right now who are living out in the pig pen. He's still working with some of them. But you as parents and grandparents, we got to sit there and continue to pray for them. We got to pray for them. We know that when we go say something to them, a lot of times they don't want to hear it. But we know that God can do things that we cannot do, right? God can move and touch a heart. And so he's coming home. He's going to come home. And I think there's probably a little fear in this man and this young man coming home. You see, this is what it's like, folks, when you walk away from our Lord Jesus Christ. You drift away in sin. You get out there and you know that's not where you're supposed to be. You have a good time for a moment, but then reality sets in and the Holy Spirit conviction begins to convict you as a believer, saying you don't belong here in the pig pen. And then there's that sense of you need to get up and you need to start walking back to the Father. When you do that, that begins you to not to draw away from God now, but to draw to God. And when you draw back to God, it is drawing back to God out of conviction. We don't like conviction. And if you think you do, you're going to be the first person I ever heard that said they like conviction. I don't like conviction. Before God, when God was calling me to preach and I didn't know it, there was something in my life I needed to take care of. I kept putting it down. I kept pushing. I kept putting it over here, trying to hide it. It was something that I needed to work out with the Lord, something I didn't want to talk about. I kept suppressing it. I kept hiding it. I put 10 locks on it. I locked that door over and over and over until the point where I just self-justified it. And I thought everything was okay because I did one of those real quick prayers. Forgive me, Lord, let me go on. But the moment that God called me to preach, right after that, he says, you know, there is something you need to take care of. And I knew what it was. Because the conviction came all back up on me in such a heavy way. It was never going to get right until I drew back to God with a conviction that he put upon me through his Holy Spirit. And there is some sense of a fear and standing before a holy God. Even though he's our Father, even though he's my Father, your Father, there is somewhat of a sense of fear because, you know, the discipline comes down. And also that we had disappointed our Father. This young man is coming home with nothing in his hands. Do you know that when you see these parables are not relative, but there is a little bit, the parable when the 10 coins and all that and giving it back and when there was nothing and Jesus found the one guy, he didn't do anything with it, he chastised him for it. This young man is coming back with everything that was given to him and he has nothing. But here's the difference. He wasn't saying, oh, I know you're a hard master. He was coming back broken, humble, coming back saying, God, Father, you're the only one. Dad, you're the only one that's going to be able to fix me. And he's coming back with a brokenness. And he says this. I got to pick it up. Verse 21, or I say verse 20, and he rose, and he came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Can I tell you that when you're coming back to Jesus with the right heart, God has compassion on you? Thank God for His compassion. Amen? And so his father saw him and he had compassion and he ran and he fell on his neck and kissed him. Let me tell you, Jesus will meet you further than you're willing to ever go. And this is the conversation. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned. Confession. Confession. Something that we struggle with. We struggle in our walk, in our daily walk, as believers. It's called, we need to learn how to confess. When we confess, we are drawing back to Jesus. And he's drawing back to his father. He says, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He said, I've sinned. I blew it. I have nothing left. I'm broke. I'm done. I spent everything that you've given to me. But I'm coming back and he's confessing. I see, he says, I've sinned against heaven. Why has he sinned against heaven? Because he's a believer. I've sinned against you. In your sight. This story always reminds me of Jim Symbol and the story about his daughter. How his daughter crawled through the living room floor because her father would not see him, would not see her while she was living in sin. And she crawled in the living room. And he was upstairs getting ready for Sunday morning service to preach at Brooklyn Tabernacle. And the testimony is just amazing. He says, wife came up and says, I'm not going down there. But she said, honey, she is weeping, broken, on her knees, and she has crawled from the front door through this house, begging for forgiveness. And at that moment, Jim went downstairs, forgave his daughter, and rekindled the relationship. Because just calling up saying, hey, I'm sorry, doesn't always cut it. Sometimes we have to be real in our confession. And so the father said to the servants, he said, bring out the best robe out and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand and the sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf here and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son who is dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Isn't that awesome? God just doesn't give us a hug. He throws us, he just wraps us around with his glory and with the joy. And this young man who went off and lived a squandered, sinful life comes back and now he's got a ring and a robe on. He's like, this is not supposed to be. I sinned. I did this. But this is the awesomeness of our Lord. Do you know one day that your name as a believer will be acknowledged in heaven? I thought we were sinners. But when you run to Jesus, your sins are forgiven. And you're in the family. And you'll get the feast. I love that. But there are some that get jealous of that, if you want to continue to read. Did you know that brothers and sisters in the church sometimes get jealous of other Christians getting their life right? You know why? Because their life isn't right yet. This young man drew to God out of conviction and confession, all because of sin. We need to learn that we need to draw back to God when we're in sin. But we have to do it God's way. We have to confess it. We have to get up out of the mess, leave the place we're at, leave the stuff we're doing, and start walking back to Jesus. Confess it before Him. And if you need to take care of something with somebody else, you do that. You eat humble pie. And you don't do it reluctantly. You do it because you need to. Because you want to. because there's conviction from the Holy Spirit. Because the purpose of it is that we might be clean, and we might be pure, that we might have that peace again. You know, when you're under conviction, you don't have peace. It's impossible. You cannot have conviction in your life and have the peace that God gives. You cannot have conviction in your life, have the joy of the Lord. This is why some people lost the joy of their salvation, because they're still under conviction. We need to draw back to the Lord and by confessing. I don't know what you did in the last month. I don't know what you did in the last year. I don't know what you did 10 years ago. But the Father, if you've not worked it out with Him, you need to work it out. Get that old weight off of you. Get that sin out. The Lord knows how to take care of that. And when you do that, guess where you're at? You're drawn right up to the Lord. When you're in sin, you're out here. And we draw to the Lord. And we have to take care of business. This is why a lot of people don't like it when we talk about drawing to Jesus, drawing to the Lord, because it will rise up. Conviction will rise up in many people. Sin will come up before us that we need to take it. Iniquities will come up before us. Unchristlike, unrighteousness, living will come up before us when we're drawing to the Lord. But also when we're drawing to the Lord, our needs become real. The needs that we have, like Hannah had a need in her heart and a brokenness in her heart. She drew the Lord with a need in her life and a broken heart. This young man draws the Lord because of the sinful lifestyle he was living, and conviction from the Holy Spirit draws him back to the Father. This morning we talked about the drawing to the Lord as a community, rising up and helping build the walls that are around us and taking care of the things that we're supposed to take care of. You get a theme here. We are to be close to God. We are supposed to be living and serving close to God. Amen? Sometimes I think this is why this church isn't filled with people, because it continues to draw people closer to God. And when you're in darkness, you want to flee from the light until you get to that place where you're looking for hope and the light does shine. And sometimes some people will draw to the light. But when you draw to the light, the darkness will be exposed. I hope that made sense to most of you. It made sense to those who have been a Christian and fallen away. I can tell you, as my walk with the Lord has not always been close, but I know this. When I wasn't as close to Him as I should have been, there was conviction on my heart. There was conviction inside of me. My prayer life was not right. I may have said words, but there was no power in my prayer because there was no power in my life. But as God began to reveal things in my life, I had to come to that moment. And I had to confess certain things before Him. And now when I get before the Lord, it's either that or it's something else, but it's always drawing near to God. And you know, one of the awesome things about drawing near to God is you get to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. You see, we're all like Adam and Eve. We're like little children. When we get in trouble, we do something wrong, we hide. Every day, God would come down in the garden and walk with Adam and Eve. Walk with Adam and talk and have conversation. But there was one day that He came and He wasn't there. Why? Because when you sin, you draw away from God. You can't help it. You draw away from God. Adam, where are you? Where are you? I'm naked. Who said you were naked? Did you eat from the tree? But the awesomeness of God is this. God provided them clothing, didn't He? Did you know that took a couple of animals' lives? Those furs didn't come out of nowhere. When we draw back to God, you won't be the same. And that's why it's hard for people to draw to God. Because you will not be the same. You can't be the same when you stand before a holy God, closer and getting closer and getting closer. The power of His glorious being and the power of His Holy Spirit, it will change you. Amen? And it should change you. New life does not need to go back to where I was when I first had it. It does not need to go back to where it was when I gave it away a year and a half ago. It needs to be better than it was. We need to be closer to God than we were. Amen? I need to be closer to God. I need to draw closer to God, because when I draw closer to Him, He draws closer to me. You draw closer to Him, He'll draw closer to you. But He will reveal things in your life. If you have sin, it will come up. You have needs and you bring it, you lay it before Him. I guarantee you this. He will answer it one way or another. But however, and whatever, and all that you do, a drawing closer to Him, when you walk away, not that you're walking away from God, but you're walking away, that moment in time is over. And you begin to walk away with resourced, repowered, whatever you want to say, you will not be the same person. Because God doesn't want you to be the same person. Moses walked to the fiery bush. He walked away a different person. Jesus walked down by the shore and He said, listen, you become fishers of men. They walked, dropped their nets immediately, and they walked with Him, and they never became the same person. When you draw closer to the Lord, you will become a different person. In a positive way. Amen? We are going through a series called Drawing Near to God. And our main scripture is this one right here. You have to be willing to draw first. God has done everything He needs to do, He wants to do. He sent His Son, He's done all those things, amazing. Give us the Holy Spirit. He convicts our hearts. He calls us, uses us, teaches us, speaks to us, moves us, challenges us. Think for yourself for a moment. When you take this step toward the Father, He's coming to meet you. And when you draw near to God, the Scriptures say, and it is a promise, that He will draw near to you. This is why it's hard for people to draw near to God. Because when you let God put His hands on you, He's going to do something. And sometimes it don't feel so good at the moment. But God never makes a mistake. God's always got the best intentions. God's always got the best purposes. He's always got the best plan, because He's God. Amen? Never put yourself above God. Always put yourself below, because that's who we are. We're not the creator. We're the creation. We're not the master. We're the slaves. So I want to challenge you tonight, each and every one of you. Are you letting God be God in your life? Are you drawing near to Him in a closer relationship with Jesus Christ? Listening and be able to be attentive to the sound and the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you have conviction and sin in your life, the only way to get rid of it is to come to Christ and give it to Him and lay it at His feet. Even if it's 20 years old, it's still your sin until you deal with it. It's still your junk and your mess until you deal with it. Jesus can take care of it. But until you hand it over, it's still your mess. So let's go ahead and stand. I want to give you an opportunity, and we're going to continue to keep working with this drawing near to God. Because once we get done with this series, Drawing Near to God, it's all about drawing the community near to God. Okay? But we got to make sure our hearts are right first.